Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Awesome. All right, guys, we are jumping into Matthew 24. Will you open up your Bibles? This is going to be some good sermons to take notes on. We're going to be talking about the end times. Jesus, in the last week of his life, talked about some of the most important things. And when he got into this last, and this time probably would have been like Wednesday, Thursday of his life, his last couple days here on earth, he started talking about the end times. Now, what I think is so interesting is the church has stopped talking about the end times. When I was young, we hear about it all the time. It was something that we always would hear about. It was something that we knew we were keeping it at the forefront of who we were. And I think that there was a lot of fear used. And so we don't want to bring fear into this conversation. What I want to bring into this conversation is that we're ready. Is that we're ready. You know, people thought that Noah was crazy when he started building a boat. He said, well, God said to build a boat. 2.5 years down the road, what happened? Rain started coming and he needed a boat. The enemy loves to make God sound crazy. And the end times sometimes might feel like that. Like it sounds just crazy to us. But I want to dig into this, and I want to start looking. We're going to spend the next couple of weeks really talking about it, because the reality of it is we all need to live with the end in mind. We need to have our eyes focused on what's coming. We need to take this time, because if you don't, you're like this in life. You're looking at what's right in front of you, and you miss what's out and ahead. We have to live ready. When we're digging into the book of Matthew, and we're looking at what Jesus said, we need to be dialed in. We need to be aware of what's coming so that we can be ready. The end times is, like I said, it's not something that the church has been talking about a lot today. And I'm going to probably dig in to some uncomfortable areas of life, but I want to dig in and I want to bring it to light, because I think it's important to understand in this whole conversation about the end times. Here are a few things that I want you to know about the end times. First of all, heaven and hell. Heaven is real and so is hell. The enemy has been doing a lot to try to discount hell. There's people that go, oh, well, we're not really sure if there's a real hell. Well, guess what? There's a hell and it's real. There's heaven and there's hell. And people are going to go to both, right? If you don't give your life to Jesus, you're going to hell. Bottom line. And I know people in the world are like, well, we don't want to be so harsh. Bottom line, that's what the Bible says. You either go to heaven or hell. And we all have a divine appointment with God. There's going to be a moment where that time comes to play for you, comes to play for me. Heaven is real, and so is hell. You know how I know hell is real? I've been at the bedside of people dying multiple times. People that don't know Jesus, I can tell you without a doubt, have died with horror on their face. Their last breath literally was horrifying. It was almost like the enemy came into that room and drugged them to hell. Over and over and over again, I've seen it. You feel it in the room. But I've also been at the bedside of people who love Jesus. And it's a peaceful, they close their eyes, and Jesus just brings them right into the next moment of their life. I know heaven and hell is real. And we have a choice of where we're going to spend. And here's the thing. No one is promised tomorrow. No one's even promised your next breath. And sometimes we live in a perspective of, oh, I can push it off to tomorrow. I don't have to. I'm just going to live and have fun with sin, and someday I'll give my life to Jesus, and sometime I'll turn my life over. And I want to tell you, you are not promised your next breath. Yeah. And I don't say that out of fear, but I say that out of reality. The people in your life who don't know Jesus are going to hell if you don't tell them, or if somebody doesn't tell them. They're not guaranteed tomorrow. Yeah. How about we get really serious about saying, man, I'm doing all I can to be ready and fill heaven with everyone I know. I'm going to be there, and everyone I know is going to be there. Because there comes a moment when that last breath is taken, that's it. There's no more. You don't get to go to purgatory. You don't get to go to some in-between. You go to heaven or hell, bottom line. And that's why I think when you look at life today, it's either the things that are happening in our life are either brought by the enemy or brought by God. You line up with the enemy or you line up with God. There's no in-between. It's very simple. And here's the thing. The enemy's plan is to kill, rob, and steal from you. Destroy you. I guess rob and steal are the same thing. Right? I say it twice because it's important. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant. So whose side are you going to be on?
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy.
Come on.
Right? And the thing is the enemy will always make things look good. If you give him an inch, he'll take a mile in your life. It'll always look good, but there's a price to pay. There's a moment where the trap that he has you in snaps. Right now, we're living in a moment of grace. We live in a country where because we had Christian forefathers who loved Jesus, and do not buy any of the lies right now of saying that we did not have Christian forefathers, because there were Christians that founded this country, and the enemy has been trying to go after that over and over again, and we are blessed because of our forefathers and what they chose to follow and believe in. And today, we live in that blessing. It doesn't cost much in America to be a Christian or to say you're a Christian. Go to China, and you get caught with one page of the Bible, and you're dead. Go to Iran, and I'm going to tell you this, like this whole Muslim idea taking over our country, I'm not going to go there because it's political, but I'm going to just say the enemy has plans to take over our country, and we got to be paying attention. It doesn't cost to be a Christian much. But there's a point where this moment of grace is over and God's judgment. And here's the thing. How many of you know we live in a world that has made the word judgment sound bad too? Well, you can't judge me. I might not be able to, but I guarantee you God will. There's a moment where grace turns into judgment. There's a moment where his mercy becomes judgment. Judgment will come. But here's the thing. If you give your life to Jesus and you surrender and you say, Jesus, my life is yours, you're guaranteed heaven. Surrendering your life. No matter, so realize heaven is real, hell is real. Another thing we see is that no one knows the day or the hour when Jesus is going to come back. There's this, when I was young, there was this movie called Thief in the Night, if anybody remembers that. If you want to see a really crazy movie, go look it up on YouTube, all right? But every December 31st, our church would show Thief in the Night, okay? And it's this, like, beheading. It's like all of the stuff that happens in the end times. I mean, literally, that movie would scare the hell out of you. I'm telling you right now. Like, you're watching it, and invariably, remember those films that would, like, the film, not strips, but the 18 millimeters or whatever, you'd be watching, and right at the scene that you're scared, it breaks, and it's like, chur, 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 and everybody gives their life to the Lord right then and there. I'm telling you, right? But no one knows the day or the hour. No one knows when Jesus is going to come back. And the moment he comes back, it's over. Right? The season of grace turns into a moment of decision. Look what Matthew, and I'm going to go a little bit forward in Matthew 24, 36. It tells us this. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. So when people come along and say, oh, well, this is when Jesus is coming back, they don't know. Right? No one knows. That's why we can't lull ourselves to sleep. Also say, oh, all of these biblical prophecies have to be met. Like, we still got time. Don't buy the lie of time. Because literally life could turn upside down and we'd be living in a different moment. Okay? No one knows when Jesus is going to come back. We also read that Jesus will come like a thief in the night. So meaning, like, literally from one moment to the next. What do you learn by this? You learn to live ready. Don't take a moment where you're like, man, I've got time. Let's start living like we don't have time. Let's start living like the people in our lives don't have time. None of us know when Jesus is going to come back and when our time is up. And here's what would be so sad for me. I don't want anyone in my life to look at me as they're being thrown into hell. And listen, some people go, well, God doesn't send people to hell. You're absolutely right. God does not send people to hell. Some people say, well, how could a loving God send people to hell? God does not send people to hell. It's your choice. You make the choice. But if they've never been told, and I have an opportunity to tell them, and they look at me and go, you knew and you never told me? How about the excuse, well, I was just afraid. I thought you'd get mad. Would that work? No. They're going to look at it and go, you knew and you never told me. Like, how could you not tell me if you love me? If we were best friends and you never told me? So living ready means sharing Jesus with everyone we know. None of us are promised the next breath. Live ready. Once you take your last breath here on earth, there will be no more time to decide. The Bible also talks about two judgments. the great white throne judgment. All believers will stand before Christ at the great white throne, and they will be punished according, sorry, all unbelievers, hear me when I just said that, all unbelievers will stand before Christ at the great white throne, and they will be punished according to the works that they've done. The Bible says that unbelievers are currently storing up wrath against themselves, that God will repay each person according to what they've done. That is eye-opening. The way that you avoid that white throne judgment is Jesus stands there and he goes, no, wait, no, I know this person. Their name is in the book of life. Their name's in the Lamb's book of life. No, they're redeemed. And God's going to say, come on in. On the great white throne, the fate of the unsaved will be in the hands of an omniscient God who will judge everyone according to his or her soul's condition and the works they've done in the body. You might be able to hide it from me or somebody else, but an omniscient God knows. Because that means he's all-knowing. He knows what's going on in your heart. That's when literally all of the excuses, everything that it just all goes away. We all have a divine appointment with our Creator. That's why the Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. This is also going to be the point where I think that Jesus will say to some believers this verse on Judgment Day. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. That is so eye-opening to me. The other judgment is called the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible tells us there's going to come a time where we have to answer to Jesus for how we've lived our lives as believers. There's going to come a moment where Jesus says, I gave you all of this. What did you do with it? Well, God, I was really busy building my own fortune. God, I was really busy building big houses and buying lots of cars and really like focus on all this other stuff. And Jesus goes, but what did you do for the kingdom? The judgment seat of Christ is the moment when believers will stand before Jesus to have their lives evaluated, not to determine their salvation, but to receive the rewards for how faithfully they followed him and used what he entrusted to them. It's a judgment of works and stewardship. That's why this idea of stewardship and how we manage our finances and our time and all of that is so important, because one day God's going to say, just like he did to the servants with the talents, what did you do with what I gave you? The Bible tells us that even every word that comes out of our mouth, we're going to be held accountable for. There's some in the room, this is your biggest problem. This tongue and this mouth is your biggest problem. But no, every word. Will you say the word every? Every word. So let's speak life. The power of life and death is in the tongue. We'll have to answer for every word that comes out of our mouth. Guys, we have got to start living like we believe what this Bible says. The Bible talks about the many crowns that God will give believers and the rewards that are going to come to believers. You can get into heaven because you gave your life to Jesus, but you might just basically be barely sliding in. We're going to be talking more about these things in this message series, because we need to know. It's so interesting right now that across the landscape of the Christian church, top Christian leaders are beginning to talk about this in a major way. And I think what we're seeing is there's not many more signs left. There's not many more things that need to happen before Jesus could come back. Like, I think we're close. It's been saying that for a long time. But the difference is now something like 92% of the biblical prophecies are now fulfilled. What we're seeing in Iran, that's not just happenstance. If you get into the Bible and you start studying Iran, the way we know we're headed there and the signs, the minute that Russia partners up with Iran and goes after Israel, that's a biblical prophecy that says, watch, because they're going to get up on that mountain as they come into Israel, and God's going to be there to wipe them out. Watch what's going to happen. All of this stuff, these are signs, and we don't need to be fearful, but we need to be ready. We need to be dialed in. In our scripture today, Jesus had a very simple message, and we're going to read it together. Be dialed in. Be aware. Don't let the world pull you away. Don't let the world distract you. Don't take the world's perspective on life. Take the Bible. Be continually on guard with our thinking, our morals, and every aspect of our lives. You can't afford the world to seep into your mindset at all. And here's what I want you to know. You give the enemy an inch and he'll take a mile. You toy around with the enemy and there's a trap that he has set. You can sin, you can enjoy sin for a season, but the Bible says you better be ready because there's a huge price to pay. And that trap will get you. Because the enemy came to destroy your life. God's goal is to fill heaven. The enemy's goal is to steal you into hell. You might go, wow, that's fire and brimstone. It's the truth. And I'm not going to back away from telling you the truth. Because also the Bible said in the end times, there's going to be pastors that want to tickle ears. I'm not tickling your ears. I'm telling you the truth. Here's our scripture, Matthew 24, 1 through 8. Here it is. And this is where we're going to base out of. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. And those buildings are beautiful. I've been to Israel. Got to see the Temple Mount. Got to see the high walls that literally were built by Solomon and the people. I mean, it's beautiful. It's breathtaking. Like, you have to look at that and go, man, this would almost be like what heaven is. But he answered them, you see all these things, do you not? Truly, I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Which would have been hard to fathom because the building of these walls were so incredible. They're still standing today, and Jesus is saying at some point they're all going to be thrown down. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Sound familiar? Sound like what we might be hearing today and everywhere we look? The first thing that Jesus said about the end times isn't wars, isn't earthquakes, isn't about the Antichrist, isn't trying to look at all the charts and the stats and trying to figure all this stuff out. He said one thing, the very first warning he gave us, don't let anyone lead you astray. Don't be deceived. I don't know about you, but I hate being lied to. The enemy loves to work by deception. He will deceive you. And here's the thing. What he says sounds so close to the truth, but it's so far off. What he tries to lead you in is so far, and I'm going to tell you, sin is fun for a season. That's what the Bible says. And then destruction. Stay dialed in. Jesus warned us, many will come in his name and will lead many astray. Guys, we got to recognize this right here and now. There will be people sent into your life to lead you astray. There's some people you need to get out of your life right now that are leading you astray. Misery loves company, especially when it comes to people that are wrapped up in sin. And guess what? You put a bad apple in a bucket of good apples, all the apples turn bad. Some of those people we got to get out of our lives. There will be many, not only a few, Jesus said many are going to come to lead you astray, to deceive you. You must be on guard all the time. You cannot afford to let your guard down. And I think we have to go back to look at what Jesus said. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You are not wrestling against the person. You're wrestling against the agenda of the enemy for your life. You can't afford to let your guard down. Your discernment must be on high alert. We must be in God's word. You should never just take a sermon that's preached without going home and checking it over. Don't just take it. Get in there and dig in. Don't just get on the internet and listen to people you have no idea whose lives do they even match up with scripture, but they're out there preaching. You better take everything they say and make sure it lines up with God's word. We are in a season where you can't just take words. You got to study it for yourself. You got to make sure your discernment is on high gear because it's so close. The enemy can make something sound so good and so close to the truth, but it can be miles away. He knows the Bible better than you do. Do you know that? He knows theology. He knows God. He was second in charge, second in command. He knows what God thinks. He knows how God operates. He's a master at deceiving and making it look so close. Also, you can't allow your emotions to rule your life. Emotions cannot be the guide that you live your life by. Our lives have to be built on the solid rock of the truth of God's word. This reminds me also of Matthew 24:24, kind of moving forward in this chapter. We'll get there again. This, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. The key word is if possible. Guys, just because somebody does signs and wonders doesn't mean that they are right on. The enemy can do signs and wonders. How many people go running after, like if there's a miracle, they go running after that and they're trying to get it for themselves. Instead of like running after God, they run after the miracle. Don't make it possible to be deceived. Because the Bible says, if possible, even God's chosen ones. Don't make it possible. We got to make sure it's not possible. We're in a moment, in a season, where we cannot afford to not know God's word and have a personal relationship with God. Do you know 85% of people in America say they believe in God? But then George Barna survey came out just the other day that said only 11% of churchgoers in the United States have a biblical worldview. You know what that means? That should stop us in our tracks. That means a biblical worldview is looking at the world and using his word to filter it. Morally, looking at God's word, saying, this is how I'm going to see my world. A lot of us, we look at our world through a world viewpoint. That's why people are sleeping together before marriage. That's why, I mean, you just look across the board and believers are not living what this word has to say. Because we need to have a biblical worldview. You might go, Pastor, you're digging in deep. I told you I'm digging in deep today. Because we got to have a biblical worldview. We need to say, I'm going to look at life according to what's true. Listen, either this book is 100% true or it's not. Either this book is how we're going to line our lives up or we're not. And I'm telling you, this is the standard to know whether you're being deceived or not. Friends, if you don't have a biblical worldview, it could be possible for you to be pulled away. What God's word says needs to be a high concern to us. It's not the time to be messing around with God. The season has changed. Here's what I also want you to know about people in the end times. Timothy warned us. This is why we have to be so careful and not become these people and not allow these people to have any place in our lives. 1 Timothy 3:1-5. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. We have a whole generation of kids that are disobedient to their parents. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what they need. Come on, boom. Right? We need some parents that are stepping up and going, okay, you are going to be obedient. We need kids that are going to be obedient. Because listen, that's what was mentioned. They're going to be disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, the reckless, be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Guys, look at our world today. If that does not define what's happening, if that's not a picture of where people are at, and if you surround your life in those, if you surround people that are like that in your life, you're going to become just like them. We have to be on guard. That's why the Bible says, do not let them lead you astray. I want to share with you four things really quickly about what Jesus was saying to his disciples in this portion of scripture about dialing in and being ready for Jesus to come. Point number one, don't be distracted by what looks important. Is somebody get me a glass of water? I also want to encourage you, don't be distracted by this. And I want you to really lock in here with me. Thank you. We live in a world today that's full of the occult. We have Christians playing with mediums, tarot cards, going to seances, speaking to the dead, angel numbers, crystals, sleep lodges, the sweat lodges. Guys, I want you to know something. When you open your life up to the enemy in any way, it's not a game. And one thing you've got, I mean, we even have cartoons that have witches casting spells on each other and all of these things that are happening, warlocks that we open into our lives and into our homes. The Bible says, do not open your life to any of that. Because what happens is the enemy gets open access to your life through those things. They're not games. You're going to be distracted by, I mean, even the stuff that, like, even yoga. I mean, you look at this stuff. Do you know that yoga, and I'm like, I'm really stepping in it. But you know, I talked to an Indian pastor who lives in India. He said every move of yoga is a worship to one of their gods. Guys, messing with the enemy is no joke. Opening your life, because you open your life up to the occult, and our society has made it a laughing joke. Not a big deal. It's everywhere we look. But then we wonder why our lives are being tormented and torn apart by the enemy. The minute you open your life up to the enemy, it gives you free access. There's four doors in our lives that are free access. One is sexual sin, two is the occult, three is drugs, and four is anger. Those open up the enemy, open our lives up. Guys, we have to shut it down. And I think we've got to raise our kids up to know too. Like playing with a Ouija board, it's no joke. That's not just fun and games. You're opening your life up to the enemy to come in and have free access. And then you wonder why he wreaks havoc on your life. Why you can't see the blessings that God has for your life. The Bible is saying, don't be distracted by these things. Don't open your life up. Don't be led astray. Dial in. Know, like, have your discernment on high alert. For the disciples, it was the temple. They were amazed at this building. It was one of the wonders of the ancient world. They got their eyes off the massive stone, the gold-covered walls, beautiful architecture. I can tell you firsthand how incredible it was. They were standing there saying, Jesus, look at this. And Jesus says, do you see all these things? The disciples saw beauty. Jesus saw vulnerability. The disciples saw permanence. Jesus saw destruction. The disciples saw a building. Jesus saw a heart problem. The enemy is always working to distract us from the truth. Whether it be looking at what we're building, looking at what we're walking through. Here's the thing. All of that's going to burn, the Bible says. It's all going away. Which is amazing because when you look at that, what are you spending your time on that's not even going to be worth anything by the time this is all said and done? What are we so stressed about that doesn't even matter for eternity? We've got to stop living for the 70, 80, maybe 90 years that we have on this earth and put our eyes to eternity because that's what really matters. This is but just a breath. This is just an instant. We're here just for a moment. Knowledge can look impressive. Platforms can look impressive. Buildings can look impressive. But God isn't looking at what everybody else sees. He's looking at our heart. Many people become distracted by things that won't last. Jesus is constantly redirecting people's attention to eternal things. So let me ask you, what you're allowing in your life right now, it might be fun for a season, but what is it doing for eternity? What you're investing in right now, what does it do for eternity? And I'm going to tell you something. When we invest like what we're talking about for the Now campaign, we are investing in eternity because we're going to be reaching kids for years. Our goal is to reach the children of this area so they don't have to live with the same chains their parents had to live with. We're focused on changing what White City is and what can be. What's your attention on right now? Politics, news, money, success, social media. Some of us, we need to take a social media break. Cultural arguments. Are you spending more time watching the world than listening to Jesus? Because whatever has your attention will eventually shape your perspective. Point number two, Jesus calls us to private conversations. Verse 3 says, his disciples came to him privately. I love that. The disciples didn't get their answers from a crowd. They got their answers from Jesus. The world is louder than ever. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a TikTok page. Everybody can be an influencer. Everybody has a platform. Everyone has a prediction. Everyone claims to know what's happening, but our world is more messed up than ever before. Yeah. Why? Jesus doesn't tell us to run to the influencers. He tells us to have some personal conversation with him. Wow. He tells us to come to him. That's why in the morning, this should not be the first thing you pick up, and I'm guilty of it too. This should be the first thing we pick up. This is what will guide your life, and you'll be much happier. He tells us to come to him. The clearest voices are often heard in the quietest places. God still speaks, but people are too distracted to hear him. We live in a culture addicted to noise, constant notification, constant scrolling, the death scroll, and constant entertainment. Could it be that the enemy has worked overtime to keep our focus on the wrong thing? If you're going to understand the times we're living in, we must spend time with Jesus. Not just hearing sermons, not just listening to podcasts, actually spending time in his presence. I'm going to tell you this too. These people that are going, oh, I don't need the church. I just stay home and watch it online on Sundays. You're missing out. Go listen to that stuff, but you need people around you. You need people who are going to do life with you. You need people who are going to stand with you, who to give you the right perspective. The disciples got clarity because they got close. Everyone in this room needs to know God's voice. His voice is speaking to us, and it's as important as the air we breathe. Know how he speaks to you, especially now. In this season, we need to hear God clear. Our prayer has been, Lord, speak to people in high def, like so clearly. Some of you may not be able to hear God's voice, and I always tell people that are stuck there, go back to the last time he spoke to you, and did you follow it? He might be waiting for you. As a parent, how many times do we like to tell our kids to do the same thing until we're just like, you know what I told you to do. You better go get it done. Right? Yeah. Point number three, the greatest danger is deception. Don't let anyone lead you astray. Why did Jesus start here? Because deception is dangerous. Nobody wakes up and says, I hope I'm deceived today. I'd really love to be lied to about everything today. That'd just be wonderful. The scary thing about deception is if you're not watching, you don't know you're being deceived. It can be like the frog sitting in the hot water where it just gets hotter and hotter and they get boiled to death and they didn't even jump out, right? Jesus knew that his return, and as his return approached, there'd be increasing confusion. False teachers, false messiah, false hopes, false priorities. The enemy's strategy has always been the same. If he can't destroy your faith, he'll try to distract it. If he can't stop you, he'll misdirect you. A distracted believer is often as ineffective as a defeated believer. What are you distracted on? The enemy doesn't need you to walk away from God. Sometimes he just needs you focused on everything else. And that's why Jesus was saying, stay dialed in. Stay focused. Don't let anything take your perspective off. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone lead you astray. How do we stay dialed in? Stay in God's word. Stay connected to God's people. You need people in your life who are going to speak life over you and truth over you. You also need people in your life who are going to call you accountable and go, hey, what's going on in this? What's going on in this area? Like, you need people. The Bible says that it's really that steel, like, just, what's the word I want to say? It's making us sharper, right? Iron sharpens iron. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's been a long day. Iron sharpens iron. Stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Stay focused on Jesus. The more familiar you are with truth, the easier it is to recognize a counterfeit. That's why you got to be good in here. Yeah. You got to know if something doesn't sound right. Point number four, the goal is fear, not readiness. Purpose of Matthew 24 is not fear. It's saying be ready. Jesus wasn't saying be afraid. He said be prepared. Get everyone around you prepared. That's why every seat in this place should be filled with your friends saying, I'm bringing them to Jesus. I'm doing whatever it takes to get them here so that I know that they get saved and they have their life turned around. A healthy understanding of the end times doesn't make us panic. It makes us purposeful. It reminds us that time matters, people matters, the gospel matters, our mission matters, the church matters. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we know he is. And every day is an opportunity to help one more person meet him. Hope City, we don't need to exist just to survive the last days. We need to invite. We need to thrive. We exist to thrive, not just survive. That's why we invite. That's why we pray. That's why we share Jesus. We're not going to go into this mode where we're going to go, oh, we just got to prep and get ready for the end times. No, we're going to get loud and proud and say, Jesus, you need Jesus. He loves you. And we're going to do everything we can to lead you to him.
Right.
We're not called to be spectators. We're called to be participants. Question is, are you dialed in? The Holy Spirit's moving. But is the noise getting in the way? Are the things of this world taking your perception and taking your eyes off of Jesus? The question is, are you dialed in? Are you listening to Jesus? Are you spending time with him? Are you allowing his word to shape your perspective? And listen, I'm going to tell you something. The power of the Holy Spirit is that he becomes the filter in our lives where he goes, no, that's a little off. He brings that discernment. That's why we got to have him. In fact, I'd say every morning, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. Show me what's not of you, Lord. Help me to know. Because on our own, I think we miss stuff. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Today, some of us, we need to retune our hearts. We need to get them back in line with the Lord. We've allowed distractions to become priorities. You have people in your life who are trying to lead you astray. Get rid of them. I love you. I pray that Jesus finds you, but don't be led astray. We've been consumed with things that won't last. And I think that's the area of issue of living in a consumer mindset and attitude that we live in our world. We've been consumed with things that won't last. Jesus is inviting us back into a relationship and back into his presence, back into his word, back into his mission.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.